All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll remind you guys, as always, that attorney Stan McDonald is indeed your sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. Stan McDonald, 30-year veteran in the practice of law. Oh, by the way, longtime conservative and your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. All right, so I gotta say, this is one of those, every once in a while I do a what I would call a more philosophical monologue. This is one of those. And I gotta say, this one was inspired by not just life events, but life events that I've been through. I'll start off by saying that when I was a young paratrooper, I made my first jump off the ramp. That's basically out the back of the aircraft as opposed to going out the side door. So that the ramp comes down, you're standing on the ramp and it's this big wide gap in the air and you can hear the air rushing and you just step off into space. The jump master that day was a Green Beret Master Sergeant who did all of his air safety checks. He gave all the right commands. And I was expecting him to tell me when to jump, which is the way you do it in the door. Like, tell me when to jump and then follow me out. No, he didn't do that. He stood up. He looked at the jumpers that were waiting. And when the green light went on, he turned and yelled at us, "Follow me!" And he went off the ramp into the abyss. Like first man off the ramp, "Follow me!" And I believe I would have followed him anywhere at that moment. It was like awe-inspiring. Look, people will stay. When a leader stands up, people will follow. When a leader stands up and says, "I see a way forward, I'm willing to go first, I'm willing to risk it, follow me," well, that's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing when you have somebody actually point the way, actually provide the clarity, the motivation, the wisdom that you need for that particular moment. But what about the times you can't see it yet? What about the times when it's unclear? What about the times when you're faced with opportunities, decisions, and you're just not sure which way to go? What about the times when you have no idea what God is doing? When your circumstances aren't giving you the right answers yet? Philippians 4, 6, and 7 talks about that. We're told in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 to not be anxious, but in all things, and by the way, that's all things, just to bring them to the Lord very specifically and with thankfulness. And the peace of God, it says, which makes no sense to the world around us, like a peace that defies all the odds, a peace that defies all the circumstances, that peace will, quote, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, the cool thing is, I recently saw that verse in what is known as the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version of the Bible, the peace that I'm talking about, it says, will mount a garrison and stand guard over your mind. Wow, think about that. In other words, the peace will fight for us like a garrison of soldiers. That's just cool. But getting to the peace, though, that's sometimes the tough part. And I totally get that. And I've had some life experiences, some good and some horrible. I've had some highs and lows personally and professionally. I've lost loved ones. I've had to work multiple jobs. I've faced trials. I've had some major victories, too. I told someone the other day that I have no idea what a comfort zone is because I've never had one. But sometimes that's where you find the peace. Because if everything was perfect, you wouldn't need to go seeking peace, right? In the course of my time in uniform, a part of that time was several months spent at the U.S. Army Ranger School. And I've said before that becoming a Ranger was one of the best, worst experiences of my life. It was. It was a suck fest from day one, and I can honestly say that it moved me past all my limits, like physically, emotionally, mentally, even spiritually. And I'd love to sit here and tell you it was no big deal, but no, it was every bit the personal trial that it was designed to be. I mean, if it was easy, everybody'd do it, right? But nobody would do it twice. Well, I had a day in Ranger School where I had hit my limit, and I believe I've told this story before, but if so, just stand by, you're going to hear it again. So I had hit my limit this one particular day. I'd lost 30 pounds, I was sleep deprived, I was at my physical and mental endpoint. And that's the place, by the way, where you really learn more things about yourself. Nothing was going right on that particular cold February day in the swamps of Florida. I couldn't get anybody in my platoon to do anything at all. And I was not the only one hitting the wall, but yet I was the only one that was getting graded at that moment on how well I could move the guys who didn't want to move and get them to do things that were physically beyond their physical capabilities. So yeah, God and I, we had a moment, you know what I'm saying? A moment where I came to the realization that everything I'd been working for in Ranger School might have been for naught. Because in that particular moment, if things didn't pick up, I could have failed out. Not because I wasn't working, but because nobody else could. And in that moment, I had a very brief but meaningful discussion with the Lord. You see, I believe that God loves soldiers. I believe that God loves warriors. He is not offended that men and women who are in the midst of learning how to fight come to him. He's a God who can be meek and quiet and speak in a still small voice, and the very next minute he can rain down fire from heaven and make his enemies take a knee. So there I was at Ranger School, freezing in the wet and the nastiness of the swamps, talking with God in a very real and down-to-earth way, and it was not a long discussion. It was not. All I basically was doing was trying to figure out why things weren't going right. Wasn't I where he wanted me? Wasn't I doing what he wanted me to do? Didn't he put me here? My gut still said yes. Well, then why wasn't anything going right? Pretty much every day I was in the course, there were guys quitting. On day one of Ranger School, 450 tried to get into my class. 250 or so made it in. Only 98 of us graduated to become Rangers. Was it worth it? Hey, God, is this worth it? But then I settled into a different spot. And here's the thing. I remember it really wasn't so much as a prayer as it was a statement. I remember saying, and maybe even said it out loud, standing there in the swamps, just miserable. I said, well, God, if you want me to be a ranger, then I will. And if you don't, then I'll go home and be proud of that too. It was an acceptance moment. It was a moment when I was basically saying, hey, God, I'm all in. I'm going to fight as long as you say fight, and I'm going to do everything it takes, and I'm going to quit fixating on my desired outcome. I'm just going to be obedient to the cause. I'm in the fight. Was I giving up? No, not a bit, not for a second, but I was recognizing and acceding to the idea that this was bigger than me and that the process was just as important in many ways as the outcome. You see, here's the thing. In that moment, that simple little discussion that I had with God in the moldy backwater of some swamp in the panhandle of Florida, it resulted in one of the most amazing experiences of my life. I kid you not, I can still remember it like it was yesterday. I felt this sense of relief wash over me, like nothing I've ever felt before. I did. I mean, I literally got warm while I was standing there in the swamps in the winter. It was tangible. I suddenly felt like the guy who had been underwater too long was able to come up and catch a breath. And I actually remember, I literally laughed out loud. I did. Despite everything around me not being funny, but that was only the beginning, because right after that, the platoon seemed to catch a fresh breath as well. And guys started moving, and rucksacks went on, and comms came up, and we collapsed the perimeter and moved out, and we hit the target on time, and yes, I graduated from Ranger School. That was 34 years ago. I can remember it like it was yesterday, but sometimes I need to be reminded about it. I do, because what I learned that day is giving in to the Lord is important, and also sometimes the mission is just to fight, just to carry on. Ronald Reagan knew about that. Ronald Reagan was lampooned by the left constantly, but he kept standing. One account of Reagan's legacy says this about him. It says, quote, the defining feature of Ronald Reagan was his moral courage. It takes tremendous moral courage, it says, to resist the overwhelming tide of the opinions of so-called experts and to say and do exactly the opposite. It could not have been pleasant for Reagan to be denounced as an ignorant cowboy, an extremist, a warmonger, a fascist, or worse, by people who thought themselves to be intellectually superior to him. But during Reagan's presidency, it said, America enjoyed its longest period of sustained economic growth in the entire 20th century. And meanwhile, it says, in the realm of foreign policy, the Reagan Doctrine led to the defeat of the worst totalitarian scourge to blight the globe since the defeat of the Nazis in World War II. And by the time he left office, Ronald Reagan, the faith of Americans in the greatness of their country had been restored. And in retrospect, Reagan was a great American success story. Born in rented rooms above a bank in Tampico, Illinois, he ended his days as the single most important American conservative figure of the last century, which the author said was not bad for an ignorant cowboy. Look, I don't always get it. I'm stubborn. I'm hard-headed. I see things in a certain way, and I know that I often believe that I can just make a square peg fit in a round hole if I just take off a little bit more on the corners. I also know I'm a hard worker. I believe that sleep is highly overrated and that work is what sheepdogs do and that not working is for sheep. I'm a big fan of stupid quotes like chicks dig scars, and I'm motivated by stories of warriors who bear those scars. But I also get tired, if the truth be known. I find myself getting to the point that sometimes I just question the fight. Like I wonder, why can't it just be a little bit easier? But then I'm reminded of that day in the swamps, when I was done in, and I learned the value of pushing through the moment and being satisfied with that, only to see that the end result actually happened because of the culmination of sticking with the moments and not fixating on what I could see the end to be. I'm reminded of people like Reagan, who stood in the gap when everyone said don't, and he did. and our lives were better because of it. And somewhere in that same time frame as when I finished Ranger School, I also ran across a poem. And I'm not one who's inclined to poetry, mind you, so I have no idea how I came to read this one. But it was spot on, and it was written by a lady named Ethelyn Weatherwald from the late 1800s. The whole thing is just called My Orders. And all it says is this. It says, "My orders are to fight. And then if I bleed or fail or strongly win, what matters it? God only doth prevail. The servant craveth not except to serve with might. I was not told to win or lose. My orders are to fight." So let me encourage you. Hard times make strong men. Yep. And peace. Peace is real. If I can find peace in the swamps of Florida, then yeah, it's real. And it will mount a garrison and stand guard over your heart and mind when it makes no sense to the world to have peace. And sometimes just fighting is winning. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.